This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Innocence died with the first shovel of dirt. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Jonathan Combs, yeah, we've been talking about him for a long time, and we'll continue to probably talk about him for a long time. As more lawsuits continue to pour in, we've heard more allegations over the past week, and the ages of the victims continue to get younger. And some of the latest that have been filed, civil allegations, point to Diddy and accused Diddy of having inappropriate relations with a 10-year-old aspiring rapper, a young boy at one of his studios at one point in time when he was coming up. The allegation is that you want to be a star, basically, and I'm paraphrasing here, and sometimes you have to do things you don't want to do. That one is, I believe, a direct quote from Diddy. Joining me to discuss, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. You know, I'm not surprised by all the sexual allegations against him from adults. I guess I am. I don't know why, but I am a bit surprised by these kids. You know, I mean, a lot of these, there seems like there's a lot that's coming out here. What's been your reaction as we continue to see these flow in?
Well, I'm not surprised about kids that are post-puberty. But now when you're talking about a 10-year-old, I mean, a 10-year-old prepubescent is just really sickening to think and to consider. And that's where we've really crossed the line if these allegations are true. When I say really cross the line, I just mean from horrific to unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it just keeps getting darker and darker and scarier and scarier. Let me ask you this. How are the feds, how do you think they're reacting behind the scenes to these new allegations that keep popping up every single week? Obviously, they have their own investigation, and we'll talk about the hearing that just took place the other day in just a moment. But as these things get filed, is there somebody sitting at a desk going, okay, here's a new one. Let's start digging into this new allegation too.
Well, that's a good thumbnail of what happens. Yes, you're right. I mean, you're going to have a case agent, supervisor kind of watching over that case agent, not really with his hands in it so much, but just overseeing things and being able to give this rubber stamp on things. But essentially, that case agent is calling the shots, is triaging all the new information coming in, and he's going to have several individuals that are assigned to him or her to investigate these different leads. And that's exactly what's going to happen. A lead comes in like this, all that information is going to be delegated out to a very particular agent, and they're going to be assigned to delve into the particulars.
Let's talk about some of the information. I'm kind of surprised by this because it's a federal grand jury, that meets in secrecy. But we're hearing a lot about what actually happened the other day. Courtney Burgess coming out saying, hey, I testified in Manhattan on Thursday, on Halloween itself. In an interview with News Nation, he claims that he saw six males and two female celebrities engaging in sex acts with the disgraced mogul. And allegedly, two of them were child stars. That's quite a statement to make. I'm assuming in the grand jury situation where they're sitting down and he's testifying, I mean, that's the cliff notes of what he said. How much in detail was he getting, do you think, in front of that grand jury in terms of naming names? I mean, were they going into like all the specifics there?
Oh, yeah. In grand jury, you sit there sometimes for hours, sometimes for days, and you go over all the particulars. Now, remember, once you testify, just to let you know the kind of the people in there, you're going to have a court reporter that's logging everything, recording everything. Then you're going to have the prosecutor that's in there actually asking questions. And you're going to typically have the clerk in there that's kind of running everything. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you're going to have your grand jury members. And then you're going to have your witnesses, only one witness at a time. There's no defense there per se. Instead, what happens is after you finished your presentation or getting asked all these questions, it opens up to the floor of all these grand jurors. Now, that's kind of like opening the floor up sometimes to Twitter, true crimers, right? Some people don't care. Some people are, you know, engaged more than others. And then some people are doggedly trying to really figure out what happened and ask questions. And you get grilled, basically, on your questions. So that's kind of how the process works.
These allegations apparently have receipts to them, according to Burgess, who claims he's one of Kim Porter, Diddy's deceased ex, saying that he was a former associate when he worked in Atlanta, and said that he was given a manuscript of the late model's purported memoir detailing her years with the accused sex trafficker. Of course, that's been thrown out there. It was on Amazon. It was pulled off Amazon. People filing lawsuits saying this is bunk. This is not true. But you have a federal grand jury talking to him now. Before they go in and talk to somebody like this, what kind of homework are they doing? Are they bringing in anybody that may be legit or not? I mean, to have him in front of the grand jury and he's making these claims and he's claiming he has hard drives or he has flash drives with this stuff on it. Is it like a cold interview? We know nothing about this guy, or did they know that this guy's really got some stuff before he shows up for that grand jury subpoena?
Well, typically he would have already been interviewed by a DHS agent in this case and anyone else who's cooperating on the case. But you know, this is mainly a DHS driven investigation. So typically they're already interviewed before they go before the grand jury. But that's not always the case. But no matter what, when you have allegations like this and so much has already been corroborated, you're going to want to put them in front of that grand jury because that is an impartial body that is may or may not be asked to make a determination. Remember how a grand jury works. There's either at some point the prosecutor can say, listen, I'm putting this up is, you know, these charges. And then the grand jury can decide to no bill it or true bill it. True bill it means they're going to charge. No bill means no, they don't think there's enough there. Oftentimes, though, grand juries convene and listen to all sorts of information, and the prosecutor himself doesn't think or herself doesn't think that there's enough there, and so it's never put up to a vote.
Yeah. The allegation goes that he says he has 11 flash drives that he alleges were given to him by Kim Porter before her death. If he has those 11 hard drives, I'm assuming that they would now be in the custody of federal agents. Is that accurate, or could this have been a claim he just made in court?
That's accurate. I mean, assuming, and I'm making a leap, but I'm sure this is what they've done, is they have actually put a warrant for those flash drives. Mm-hmm. They've actually gone to a judge and asked for a warrant and a warrant to search. And so what happens is those are imaged, if you will, completely duplicated and then typically returned to the owner. Mm-hmm. So that is typically what would happen and what should happen.
So as much as we sit here and we wonder about what's on Diddy's hard drives that they seized, he's telling everybody, look, I got the flash drives that show all of this stuff. It's a bit stronger than just saying you have a couple pages of a manuscript because, well, I mean, as of right now, for the most part, videos don't necessarily lie. We're getting into AI territory, but I don't think we're there on something like this. Especially, you know, they can prove it's older and, well, it's easy to prove AI at this point. So if it's out there and they have these videos, how long would it take? Let's say Department of Homeland Security, who's heading this, they take a look at these videos and they see these celebrities. And let's say they're seeing them engaged in illegal behavior, you know, with a kid or something on these videos. How quick from seeing that to acting and charging and arresting these adult individuals who are celebrities would that take? Or would that be kind of a slow go as they build up a larger case?
I think it would be quick. The reason I say that, and I think Diddy's was fairly quick.
Yeah.
When you really consider the fact that there's still a lot more they probably haven't poured over. You're looking at the concern of safety to the public, safety to other kids. if again, it's true, if they're, you know, conducting this sort of illegal activity, you want to keep that, you want to make sure it doesn't happen. And so as a federal agent, as a prosecution office, you have to get these people off the street once you have what you believe to be beyond a reasonable doubt information that they're committing these violations.
So if they do find this, if what he says is on these tapes is on these tapes or on these flash drives, is this, are these people brought up in somehow in conjunction with Diddy on charges? Are they brought up in a different type of way on charges? Is it still DHS that goes in after these people? Is it FBI? Is it local police? It would obviously depend on interstate, you know, transportation and things of that nature. If crimes are committed over state lines, how do they charge someone like this if they do see a celebrity having sex with a kid on one of these videos?
Well, DHS will continue to charge this case. They're the lead. And so they're, it's not going to be removed because, the, you know, there's letters of understanding and jurisdiction that they have for sex trafficking cases, for human trafficking cases. So it will stay with the DHS. And what will happen is the grand jurors will be asked, you know, more information will be transmitted to the grand jury, typically by the forensic analyst that downloaded all of that. So that's a whole separate set of testimony. And it will take hours to pore over those that kind of information. It's not going to happen overnight. And I would think that they would put multiple agents on that to look at those hard drives and get through it. And then once they get through that will go to the grand jury. And then after that, I would believe that the prosecutor, if he believes it's good information, will ask for a vote by the grand jury as to whether it's a true bill or a no bill against the celebrities involved. And then the minute that that is true billed, then they're going to put together an operations plan. This would all be secret and then probably, you know, hit within a week.
Wow. With that being said, and with these charges that that are out there, obviously on Diddy, he's been arrested now in jail. What's the likelihood that we're going to now be seeing superseding indictments as the grand jury continues to reconvene over and over here?
I think we're going to see superseding indictments. My belief was that was always a probability, not just a possibility. And that's because I truly believe they haven't been able to pore over everything they've had from all those warrants and all the new people coming forward. And we're going to see superseding indictments. That's my belief.
Which will likely then push the case back further and further. I know right now it's, you know, tentatively scheduled for early next year, but you've been very good on predicting these sort of things. How far out do you think it will be before Diddy sees the inside of a courtroom in an actual trial setting, not just a hearing?
Well, it'll be interesting if he pleads or not. I don't think there's really any incentive at this point for him to plead. I think they're going to have to fight this. I don't think that they will win. I don't know. They could put something on the table that Diddy might like. In other words, 20 years instead of life, or, you know, because that's what he's looking at. So it's a possibility that he could plead. Having said that, this will not see, if this goes through the normal processes without any pleas being arranged, I'll say 4 years.
Okay. Let me ask you this, with all the pleading that it could potentially go on. If you had just like one charge against you from one person, you could get 20 years for that. We're talking a lot of people. We're talking potentially hundreds of people who have these claims against him. That to me seems like, why would you even offer a deal at that point? Because you're almost like you're condensing all of the crimes into one and just essentially punishing for one. I'm assuming they take that into account and go, there's like a litany of this stuff. It's far more than one person affected here. This is beyond a 20-year sentence for something like this. I would assume that would be going into consideration as they're continuing to go after this, whether or not they would offer him even a plea option.
I tell you what, Tony, I've seen everything, you know, 4 years. I worked what we call Title III investigations, yeah, which are very long-term investigations. And the only reason I bring this up is because I've seen prosecutors make the decision to plea on the first day of court. Even when everything's done, you have people taped, there couldn't be stronger information. You know, you got 10 people sitting there in court with all their high dollar attorneys, and then they plea it out.
Yeah.
So it's very disappointing to the agents, because the agents work so hard on these cases and they're invested and they're sickened. Be quite frank, you ask what happens behind the scenes. I mean, they're sickened. Remember, the public is hearing about this. They're having to watch it.
Yeah.
And there is nothing more grueling. And we all had to do it, is sitting there watching child pornographic videos and pictures one after another, because, you know, that's your job. And then when a prosecutor then says, that's okay, in the interest of money, of time, of moving on to the next person, they're willing to take 20 years, done. We're going to do it. So I think plea deals are always possible. I've witnessed that, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, they're always possible, but I mean, something like this, is it likely? I mean, I know it can go anyway. Probably, you know, it's up to the DA and the prosecutors, and this is whether or not they're going to offer it, but they don't have to offer it. They could look at this and go, no, it's too dark, no option for you, right?
They can. And it honestly really depends on that prosecutor and that prosecutor's office. You know, the not the assistant United States attorney, although he's very important because he's the main one in charge of that case, but really the U.S. attorney. The buck stops with him, and there's certainly going to be a lot of conversation and sentiment at a certain point, whether that's even going to be considered. So it comes down to the personalities.
What do we know about that individual right now, or their track record on things like this in terms of offering plea deals? Do you have any knowledge as to their, you know, historical record on how they've handled cases? I don't want to say like this, because this is pretty unique, but in cases that remotely resemble something like this.
I have not looked at their track record, but I always caution, because remember, a U.S. attorney is appointed. And so U.S. attorneys change when political climates change. I've had amazing U.S. attorneys in, and then there's a election, presidential election, and then they're out.
Yeah.
So they are ever changing. So it depends on so many factors.
Lots of possibilities of where this could all end. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in. And then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.